When we see the intentionality of a message, God eternal within the body, it tells us that there is something much, much greater going on here. At the very least, it says, for the estimated 50 trillion cells in our bodies and the estimated 6 billion members of our global family, perhaps as a lasting tribute to our species, we each carry a message that has been preserved, a message from the day of our origin. 50 trillion cells per body, 6 billion people on the earth. That is about, if you do the math, about 300 billion trillion copies of the message, God eternal within the body. We asked the question earlier, could the answer to one of our greatest mysteries be so abundant that we overlooked it? Well, if we're overlooking 300 billion trillion copies, then the answer may be yes. What this message says to us is beyond any differences of belief, lifestyle, heritage, bloodlines, or culture, the miracle of the message is precisely the same in each of us. It offers us a place to begin when we think our differences are insurmountable. It's been interesting since the book The God Code was released. It certainly has been circulated among academics, academic institutions, scientific researchers for review. One of the very interesting things that has come to my attention is that as different as the beliefs of so many of the spiritual and religious and scientific traditions are on the one hand, and they're certainly different from one another, there has been an acceptance of the fact that this code exists. While there is a controversy regarding how the code got there, how long it's been there, why it took us so long to find it, when we see the methodology that's used to translate the code of life into the letters of ancient alphabets, it's there. We don't know why it's there, but it works. And what's so interesting to me is that as different as those traditions appear to be on the one hand, the existence of this code seems to support each one. From the ancient and indigenous traditions of the shaman and the medicine people I've spoken with in the high Andes of Bolivia and Peru, to the monks and the nuns in the monasteries of Tibet, and the monks and the monasteries in the Sinai Peninsula in Egypt, through the Native American traditions, all through the desert Southwest, and in the hearts and the minds, the true hearts and minds of many of the scientists and researchers I've spoken with, we've all suspected that somehow something like this may exist. We've never known precisely how to go about finding it. And now that we've allowed ourselves to cross those traditional boundaries that have separated the sciences and the spirituality in the past, while there's much more here and much more work to do, what we've done is we've opened the door to a new possibility. And to me, that is very exciting. We've opened the door to a new way of looking at ourselves and a new wisdom that empowers us to go beyond the places where those boundaries have kept us confined in the past. So now that we know this message is there, the next question is, what does it mean? What does the message in ourselves mean? Well, as we mentioned earlier, at the very least, this message says we're here on purpose, that we're part of one another in all life that shares the message. This is a question that comes up in the live audiences frequently. People say, well, does this message exist in the cells of my dog or my cat or my goldfish or my gopher? The answer is yes. Life as we know it, in our world, carbon-based life, any life that's based on the four DNA bases, CTAG, that we discussed earlier, all contain the same code and the same message. The introduction, the highest level, is the same for all of us. Now that we've had this conversation, I can be a little clearer with the answer. Because as we go into the deeper layers of the code, and there are many, many layers, much deeper, where the message is literally hundreds of letters long per sentence, then the uniqueness of what makes our dog or our cat or a blade of grass separate from us, that's where this portion of the message is going to come up. And we don't know precisely what this says yet because the research is ongoing. But I felt it was important to be able to share with you what we found so far. The fact that the message exists, it says we're here on purpose, we're part of one another in all life, and because it exists even in the simplest organisms that are the most ancient, it implies that who or whatever placed this message there already existed before that life came into abundance in our world. It implies that we're linked to something greater, a greater intelligence of some kind. The poet William Blake stated, "God is man and exists in us and we in him." He goes on to say that God became as we are that we may be as he is. If you can get through the gender implications on this quote, we're going to work with gender here in just a little bit regarding God. If we can get past all of the he's in this statement, God became as we are, we may be as he is. There may be more truth to that, maybe than even Blake knew when he wrote this, or maybe he did suspect this. It implies that God is within us, allowing us access to that divinity to become greater than the differences, to be greater than the limitations that we believe have kept us back in the past. Another way of saying what William Blake has just stated is that we are embodying the Spirit of God in the bodies made of earth. Ancient texts are very clear that our souls and our bodies are two very distinct yet related entities. Our bodies, our physical bodies, are made of the elements of the earth: hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, carbon. However, if you just take hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, carbon, and you put it together, you won't get a body like ours unless there's a glue that holds it together, at least not a viable body that lasts. This may be the answer to one of the great mysteries in the cloning process. While we can clone a cell of another being, there appears to be a mysterious essence that is missing in those clones that allows those offspring to become viable, long-lived beings as their predecessors were. Spirit of God, bodies of earth, there's something within us. It is the glue that holds life together as we know it. Well, now that we have this code and we're able to know what this means, another way of saying this, then, the Spirit of God, the name of God, is YHVH, Yahweh. However, the name in our bodies is not quite YHVH. It's YHVG. YHVG. Yahweh, the name of God, in totality, Yah within the body, is the name that lives within us. It implies that while we may share a portion of God's name, that we are not God. While we share 75% of God's name, YHVH is God's full name, YHVG is the name in ourselves, we share 75% of God's name, that we're left to choose the attributes, the divine attributes within us that allow us to fulfill our potential. And choice is the key word here. If we choose to become greater than the limitations of our past, it appears that all of the tools are there to do that. And if we choose to remain within those limitations, those tools are there to do it as well. And there's no judgment that's implied, no right, wrong, good, or bad. Simply different paths, different choices. And now we're learning that those choices exist. The union of spirit and matter, or the union of God with the elements of the earth, appears to be the recipe. Our bodies appear to be the very precise recipe that is required to contain those divine qualities of spirit in bodies of earth, the very qualities that set us apart from all other life. And while we may have always suspected this in our hearts, and many of the ancient texts say this to us, science now is beginning to tell us how this works. So for the next few moments, what I'd like to do, I'd like to share some scientific research. As science hones in on the mystery of our origins, we're coming closer to knowing what we are not. Science is eliminating the things that we thought may be possibilities in the past, and by doing that, coming ever closer to understanding who we are. Science is beginning to tell us, and one of the places they're finding this kind of evidence is in what we call the fossil record. The big question in the theory of evolution and the fossil record is as to whether or not evolution by itself can explain the changes that have led to the uniqueness of who we are as humankind.